Okay. Okay, Shalom Aleichem everybody. Thank you so much for joining today. I'm going to devote the next hour to a topic which is very, very, very much Minyan Diyoma. It's based in a sugya which ultimately comes to fruition in Siman Tov Reish Vav in Or HaChaim, which is one of the few simanim that really deal with the laws of Erev Yom Kippur. So even though it's not yet Erev Yom Kippur, it's Erev Yom Kippur enough for the purpose of the discussion we're going to have today. I actually want to begin with a bit of a story. As I have recently returned to yeshiva, so many memories have been coming back. I spent many years here in the high school, in the college, in the speech program. When I first married, we lived here. And then I took like an 11-year leave of absence. And now that I'm back, so all these memories come back to my mind. So I actually remember that when I graduated OYU, or when I thought I graduated OYU, so I was going over, as I'm sure some of you have had similar experiences, all of your different classes and the registrar's office and making sure that everything is good to go. And I discovered that it's incomplete in gym. I don't know if I'm probably not the first one to have such an experience. But at the time, I was like quite surprised and, you know, frustrated to learn that I still had some unfinished business that I need to take care of at the gym. So I went and I said, apparently I have something complete. So it turns out that, yeah, that I didn't show up enough and I didn't meet the requirements and it was going to be an ikuv. I was not going to be able to graduate. And I remember saying to myself and then to the instructor, you know, with all due respect, you know, how could this be? You know, after all, I majored in this, I majored in that, I'm in graduate school now, and do you know who I am? Well, it didn't make much of a difference. And at that point, I had to go ahead and I remember do push-ups and do laps and basically everything short of giving myself a heart attack just to be able to finish Yeshiva College. Now, of course, I guess it could have been worse, and that's not, it is what it is. I have no one to blame but myself. But that sort of feeling, that experience, is one which may seem somewhat familiar to something that some of us may actually experience at this very moment. The famous Mishnah towards the end of Maseches Yoma, source number one, and the sheet tells us that Aveirish and Avadim L'makom Yom Kippur Mechaper. Yom Kippur has the power, the ability to be mechaper on mitzvos ben adam l'makom, aveirish ben adam l'makom. However, aveirish ben adam l'chavero, when it comes to violations that were committed against another person, ein yom kippur mechaper ad sheyiratz es chavero. So when it comes to this, Yom Kippur is not enough. Yom Kippur is part of the ultimate kapara, the atonement, but it's not enough. A person has to, in fact, go ahead and try to appease the person who he offended. And the Mishnah goes on to quote a drasha from Elazar ben Azariah, who says that this can be seen in the pasuk. Because the pasuk, as we're going to read on Yom Kippur, says, "Ki bayom hazeh yichaper aleichem letaretzchem mikol chatochseichem lifnei Hashem titaru." And he darshins this pasuk, "Averosh v'adam l'makom yom kippur mechaper," that transgressions between man and God, Yom Kippur can atone for. "Averosh v'adam l'chavero ein yom kippur mechaper et shiratzos chavero." So a person has to actually go ahead and appease another individual. Torah Tamima tries to enlighten us a little bit in source number three as to how exactly that's meduyik in the pasuk, because it's not so clear. So he says, really, the pasuk should have read like this: "Ki bayom hazeh yichaper aleichem lifnei Hashem letar eschem mikol chatoseichem titaru." But the lifnei Hashem seems to be out of place. So the way Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah darshins it is mikol chatoseichem lifnei Hashem. For all of your sins that were lifting Hashem, so for that titaru, so for that Yom Kippur has the ability to be mechaper. However, those sins that were not lifting Hashem, meaning aveirish and vadim lechavero, so now I have to do something more. What's that more? I have to be meratzes chaver. I have to go ahead and try to appease, try to ask for forgiveness. I have to try to engage this person in conversation in which I apologize for what I did and I ask this person to forgive me. There's this need to go ahead and to be miratzeh es chaver. So we're going to ask several questions by way of introduction to this topic, and then hopefully we're going to cover some of the main points of this sugya on both ends, both in terms of the one who is seeking forgiveness and the one who is being asked to forgive another. The first question, which is asked by the Rav Zichron al-Brach, it's brought down on Sefer HaRei Kadem, is it would seem at first glance that this pasuk that is cited by the Mishnah in Yoma is really unnecessary, because in fact we have another Mishnah, Mishnah Bava Kama and Perek HaChovel, source number 4, which tells us the same idea, but the Mishnah over there quotes another pasuk. The Mishnah says, "Afa pisha hu nosein lo." Even if a person, when a person injures somebody else, he pays whatever the cost was for the damages that he caused. Ein nimchalo ad sheyivakesh mimenu. This person will not have mechila until he actually goes ahead and is mevakesh mechila. Shenemar, as it says, v'ato hashev eisha sa'ish. The Gemara, the Mishnah over there quotes a pasuk, famous story, where involving Avram Avinu and Avimelech, where there was an offense that was committed against Avram Avinu, that Avram's wife Sarai was taken. It's true that Avimelech claims that he didn't realize that she was married. That's all true, but at the same time, there was a transgression, an offense that was committed, and even after he returned her, so to speak, it was still necessary for him to be mevakesh mechila from Avram in order to then have Avram go ahead and pray that he should be healed. So the Mishnah over here quotes a completely different pasuk, which prompts the question, as cited in source number 6, why is it necessary for Mishnayos to provide us with two sources which essentially teach us the same din? Namely, that when you commit an Avera, Ben Adam L'Chavero, you have to first go ahead and be Mevakish Mechila, Chiyiratzes Chavero, you have to go ahead and try to appease the person whom you have offended. So we're going to try to answer this question by taking a closer look at this concept. And we're going to do so by taking a look at a Gemara in Yoma Daf Pei Zayin. This Gemara is actually the Gemara which follows the Mishnah we saw in source number 1. And the Gemara over here tells a story, actually two stories, very similar stories, one involving Rabbi Zeira, the second involving Rav, and we'll see how they conducted themselves around this time of year. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Zeira, Kiyavi Lemilsa Mahada Yinish. When Rabbi Zeira had a certain issue, he had a dispute with a certain individual that had not been completely resolved. So what he would do is he would try to sort of go out of his way to appear before this person. Rabbi Zeira would essentially go ahead and sort of hang out near and in front of the person whom he offended, hoping, as Rashi says over here, Rabbi Zeira was essentially trying to give this guy a hint. He was hanging around so that the guy would remember, oh yeah, Rabbi Zeira, you know, remember a few months ago I spoke Lashon Hara about you? Well, I wanted to be Mevakesh Mechila. The Gemara tells similarly regarding Rav. He had a certain dispute with a particular butcher, and he was getting close to Yom Kippur, and the butcher had not yet come to Rav to ask for Mechila. So on Erev Yom Kippur, Amar Ihu Ezel Ana Lefiyusei Leh. So Rav says, you know, I think I'm going to go myself, because it's getting late, the deadline is nearing, the butcher who really should be asking for Mechila has not yet appeared, so I'm going to go ahead and confront him and he'll ask for Mechila. So Pagabe Rav Huna. So Rav Huna actually encountered Rav on his way to appear before the butcher. So he says, Lehecha Ka'azomai, where are you going? So Amalei, he said, Lefiyusei Leploni. He says, I want to try to be Mephayis Ploni. I want to try to make up with so-and-so. So Rav Huna, I guess realizing what was about to happen, says to Rav, you know, you're going to kill him. What does it mean, you're going to kill him? It's just a private conversation. So I guess Rav Huna was able to foresee that which was about to occur. The Gemara goes on to tell us that this butcher apparently is a very stubborn guy. This guy with a big ego and was not really well interested in making up with Rav. On the other hand, Rav is an Adam Gadol, someone who obviously you don't want to mess with. So Rav goes ahead and tries to give a hint to the guy that he should be mafias him. It doesn't work. The guy, the Gemara tells us, the guy's chopping at that moment. He's using his heavy meat cleaver to go ahead and chop his meat, and he takes the knife down, and a bone comes and hits him in the face, and he ends up dying tragically on Erev Yom Kippur. So, you know, there are, I got a lot of different points you could take out of this Gemara. I mean, obviously that tragic ending that the Gemara seems to imply perhaps could have been avoided had this guy gone ahead and just asked for mechila. Leaving that aside for the moment, when you take a look at these two stories, both Reb Zeira and Rav, something very strange emerges. And that is Reb Zeira and Rav both went out of their way to appear before a person who needed to ask mechila from them. Which, of course, raises a very, very basic question. And that is, Why is that necessary? Because if Rav Zeir and Rav really were being so generous and offering themselves in this way, trying to give the person an opportunity to ask Mechila, well, that must mean that really they forgave them already. They were forgiving people. They were, you know, there are people who said they have hot tainas on people, they'll never let go. Here, clearly, Rav Zeir and Rav, they were not of that mindset. They clearly wanted to forgive. We would say they even did forgive. But yet, for some reason, they went out of their way to try to appear before these individuals so that they would go ahead and be mevakesh mechila. Why did they do this? So, many, many achronim who discuss this sugi in general explain the following idea, and perhaps it would be best presented if we take a look at the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, in source number 9. The Rambam teaches, Ein ha-tshuva v'lo yom ha-kippur mechaperin el ha-averish menadim l'makom. As we said, it's in the Mishnah, the tshuva and yom kippur will only atone for ha-averish menadim l'makom, kagon misha achol dvar yisr, so for example, a person who ate something he shouldn't eat, or bal bi'ila asura, person who had relations that was prohibited, the kayotzi ben and such examples, aval averos, sheben adam l'chavero, however, anything which was a sin committed against another person, kigon achovos chavero, if you injure somebody, or makal chavero, curse somebody, or gozo, you steal from somebody, enu nimchalo li olam, you will never have mechila, ad sheyitein l'chavero ma'ushu chayiv lo viratzeyu. Says the Rambam, you have to obviously pay back the person whatever you took, whatever money you owe him, and you have to, there's that word again, you have to be meratzehim. You have to try to appease him, that he should find you favorably. Says the Rambam, yeah, even though you paid him. You have to actually go ahead and try to appease him and ask him for mechila. The fact that you paid him every cent is not enough. Even all you did was insult a guy. I didn't hurt him at all, so I don't have to pay him any money. I didn't steal from him. I damaged him. I didn't injure him. All I did was insult him or speak about him in a way that was damaging. Even in that case, I have to tzorech lefaiso. Says the Rambam, you have to be mefaisim, and I have to make it my business to go out of my way to find this guy, and I have to take care of this obviously before Yom Kippur, which is the deadline. In other words, what the Rambam seems to be stressing, and I bolded it for the purpose of emphasis, again and again and again, is that the objective over here is the ritzui itself. Not necessarily that the act of being meratzel chavero is, you would call it, it's almost like a hechshu mitzvah, that it's a prerequisite, it's something needs to be done in order that the person can formally grant you mechila. No. The real objective over here, the goal is not necessarily the mechila per se, but that you have to go ahead, I have to go ahead and be mevakish mechila. I have to try to be mefayes, as Chaveri using the words of the Mishnah, I have to go ahead and try to appease this individual. And that's what prompts many achronim to come to the conclusion, as is stated over here very explicitly in source number 10, let's say I know for a fact that the person who I offended already forgave me. How do I know? Somebody told me. He's that kind of guy. He's a very generous guy. Every time I see him, he says Shalom Aleichem, he gives me a hug. So I know that he has no tainas on me anymore. I know that he's forgiven me. Near a pashut shechiv bakoshes mechila hu lo rak b'shul afayes elazet tnai b'tshuva dvarim shedemein adam lachaveru. It's not just a way to bring about the mechila. Even if I know that he's been mochel me, I have to go ahead and I have to be mevakesh mechila. Why is this so? After all, one could have very, very likely argued otherwise. That the Mishnah is saying that, yeah, Aveir Shemadam Lako, Makadosh Baruch Hu will be mochel with Yom Kippur and Shuva. Aveir Shemadam Lachavero, I have to be mefayis him to know that he forgave me. But if I know that he forgave me, so then I can move on to the next guy. Why do I have to be mefayisim? So many explain that the idea over here is, and we all know this, we should know this, because there's no one in this room who has never offended somebody else. And I imagine there have been times where, I hope, you've gone over to the people that you've offended and you've asked for forgiveness and apologized for what you've done. And if you've been in that situation, you know how uncomfortable it is. You know how difficult it is. You know how humiliating it could sometimes be. You know how it really requires a person to go ahead and to not just acknowledge that he did something wrong, but have to submit himself before another person and bring up things that are painful, and it's a very difficult thing to do. In many ways, it's much easier to stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, Achet, 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 and we have to ask ourselves why. Maybe it's just because we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is incredibly generous and benevolent, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so forgiving, but you know, there's probably other reasons as well. And that is that it doesn't feel quite as awkward appearing before Melech Mayachem Machem Lachem, but to go before somebody else, oh gosh, I would avoid it at all costs. So many Achronim say that's precisely the point. That's exactly the reason. The Gemara Bracha says in source number 11, Kol Osid V'Aveira Mizbayesh Bo Mochlima. If a person does an Aveira, and at the time he's doing the Aveira, maybe you could say even after he's doing the Aveira, this Busha, the person feels bad. He's not enjoying it. Obviously, there's something that's pulling him to the sin, whatever it is. But at least he feels an element of busha. That itself mitigates the onesh, because you can't compare a guy who does an aveira b'simcha and a guy who does it krechzing the whole way and feeling bad and feeling embarrassed as he's doing it. So here as well, if I go ahead and I'm mevayish myself because it's embarrassing to go ahead and ask somebody for forgiveness, that is factored into the onesh, could mitigate, minimize, and perhaps completely eliminate the onesh. That could become the onesh itself. The Gra says a similar idea, commenting on Medrash Tanchuma, which says that if a person wants to ask mechila from somebody, he doesn't grant the mechila, so we should bring other people along with him. And what's the goal over here? So you see the B'yar Gra, source number 12, this is in that same Siman, Taf Reish Vav, he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu roe shehishpil atzmo merachim lo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that a person is mashpil himself. He lowers himself. He degrades himself, because that's really what it can be, a degrading experience. Hopefully it won't be completely humiliating. Hopefully the person who I'm asking for mechila will be generous and won't make it too painful for me. But even if he's very generous, and he makes it very, to go ahead and to bring up a very uncomfortable, that's hard. That feels degrading. And that's exactly the point. That's exactly the point. Rav Worman, Sefer, this is Osir Rachman, the Mechaber of Sheiris Yosef, writes, same idea. Ulai tamadavar hu shemutal alachote lahachnia ulevazos atzasam abvol anivka levakesh men mechila. That it's necessary for the person to go ahead and to lower himself, to submit himself, to cause this element of discomfort. And quoting the Mishnah from Maseches Avos, lefum sara agra. In a sense, the more painful it is, the more uncomfortable it is, the more you're accomplishing. So what we see here is that this obligation to go ahead and the mefayis as chaveru is not just a technical requirement in order to achieve a particular goal, namely mechila. Even if I know independently that this person is b'mochel me, even if I know that he forgives me, I am still required to go ahead and be mefayis, to be meratz as chaveru, or else, as the Mishnah states definitively, ein yom ha-kippur mechaper. By the way, it didn't make it to the sheet, but many of you may know that the Gaon, Vilna Gaon and others understand the Mishnah not as it appears on the surface. The Mishnah seems to be saying that, let's say a guy chooses, you know, I'm not going to ask forgiveness from anybody, so I'll take a hit on the Aveir Shemenu L'Chaveiro, but at least I'll get a clean slate on Ben Adam L'Makom. Says the God's not going to work. He says that this is the equal of even Ben Adam L'Makom. What the Mishnah is saying is, yeah, Ben Adam L'Makom Yom HaKippur Min B'Chapeh. However, if you have Aveir Shemenu L'Chaveiro that are outstanding, you must deal with those. And if you don't, you will not get kapara for Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, nor will you get kapara for Ben Adam L'Makom. In other words, Yom HaKippur does nothing as long as I have these unsettled debts, these obligations to go ahead and deal with my transgressions, my violations, Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. This idea, this theory that we're working with, which, like I said, really reflects a very, very wide consensus among the Achronim. So this actually has some very, very practical nafkiminas in terms of how we are to relate to this din. One is it permissible for me to go ahead and to send the shaliach on my behalf to go ahead and ask somebody for mechila? So I would have thought, yeah, why not? After all, if it's just about achieving mechila, so what's the difference if I go myself for sending the shaliach? But as we see, many of the Achronim actually say that you shouldn't. The Bach in source number 14 on top of the page, the Yerabe 15, the Mishnah Berurah courses, all say that really it's not right to send a shaliach. The Bach says, some people do this, but it's really the wrong thing. Tosu. Mishnah Berurah says, really, you should go yourself. If you can't, if it's very difficult, or there may be other reasons, Hakol Afi Inyan, there may be certain situations where the person who you offended is so upset at you, so angry, so livid, you hear from other people, don't go anywhere near him. If he sees you, he's gonna go crazy. So, Chacham Einav Barosho, you have to be smart. But if you know that the guy is so upset at you, maybe you're doing yourself and him and everybody at the service by going ahead and going in yourself. That's different. But you have to know, and maybe in situations like that, as Rav Avadya Yosef says in source number 17, send somebody first. Clear the way. Somebody could ask permission. You know, so-and-so wants to apologize. Would it be okay for him to call you? Would it be okay for him to visit you? If he says yes, then you know you're good to go. But those situations are unique. Generally speaking, however, to go ahead and to send a shaliach, let's say I know my wife is very friendly with somebody who I offended. So it's much easier for me to tell my wife, next time you speak to this person, just say, that I apologize for what I did. This way I get to avoid the whole discomfort involved in having to apologize for myself. So the person will say, no, that's not what it means. What it means to be Mefayis as Chaver means you yourself. Why? Because as we saw, this is not just about achieving Mechila. It's about me as a Baal Teshuva going through this process, which again is difficult and it's sometimes demoralizing and it's sometimes very uncomfortable. That is precisely the point. And the Rav is brought down in source number 18, used this to resolve the apparent problem that we raised, that the Mishnah quotes two Pesukim. We have a Mishnah Bava Kamma, another Mishnah in Yoma, citing two different Pesukim, teaching what seems to be essentially the same din. So the Rav explains, no, there are two different obligations over here. In source number 18, we read inside, Vashir Gilo Mabzeh, the Shani Dino Shur Veloz Ben Azariah, Vachov Leratzo Sos Chaberi Lefnei HaMakipurim, Miadin HaKloli, the Bakoshas Mechila, Sheva Mishnah HaChove. There's a difference between the Mishnah in Yom and the Mishnah HaChove. The Din of Veloz Ben Azariah, Havidin HaNemar Le'inyin Kaparos Yom HaKipurim. This is a special din that has to do with the Kapar of Yom Kippur, the Ein Yom HaKipur Mechaper, Ad Shiratzo Sos Chaberi. This is not specific to any local din. The Mishnah Bava Kamma is talking about a very specific, unique situation. Over here we're saying, this is part of the Kapar of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is Namachaper until I go through this process of being Meratzel Chavira. You'll say, you never hurt anybody. You never spoke Lashon Hara about anyone. I don't want to say impossible. Highly unusual. Likely impossible. This is different than the obligation I have to go ahead and apologize for things that I do all throughout the year. It's not enough that I know that he forgave me. I have to actually go out of my way and again go through the process of being meratzeh to try to appease, to apologize, to seek forgiveness from the person who I offended. Another interesting and a very important point, and actually just this past year, I'm sure it's not the first time, but very recently somebody actually asked me this question. Why is it necessary to go ahead and ask for Mechila? After all, for those who are Zohar to say Tefillah Zakah before Yom Kippur, you know that we make a very, very clear declaration in the Tefillah Zakah that says before Yom Kippur, in which we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen, I know that I'm coming to before you as a broken man, I've committed so many terrible things, I'm asking you to forgive me, and just as a sign of good spirit, so you should know that I'm a good guy, I'm going to go ahead and be mochel anybody who's offended me. Oh, look at that. So at Yom Kippur, a guy comes to shul, and I happen to come to shul, and I see there's a guy who I've sinned against over the past year. But I see him under the talus, and I'm sitting next to him, and I hear him say these words. V'hinini mochel b'machila gemura l'cho mishachatin negdi. Oh, so perfect. I just heard him say that he forgives everyone, including me, b'machila gemura. Right? Or, let's say, happen another. The guy says Kriya Shema Lamita every night, as he should, and he says the words as customary to say. Ribono Shel Olam Hareini Mochel Lachomi Shehiches VeHiknan Asai. Oh, see, I go ahead and I forgive anybody who's upset me, who's aggravated me, who sinned against me. So perfect. The person has already forgiven me, right? Wrong. That's not enough. In the Shuvas Mevasitov Pel Yoetz, they mention specifically that I can't be somech on the fact that I know that this guy was issued a general mechila, or perhaps even a specific mechila. Nothing could possibly absolve me of the responsibility, the obligation that I have to go out of my way and to be shoel for myself, to ask for forgiveness. Again, it's uncomfortable. It's degrading. It's demoralizing. And as we've said again, That's precisely the point. Source number 22, there's a fascinating story that's brought down. This Sefer, Aaron Soloveitchik, Sochan Lebracha, so he brings down of Yirin Ilchus Tshuva a story that is, it's really a fascinating story that he remembers happened when his father was 19 years old. So Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, who was of course the Rav's brother, so he remembers when his father, Moshe Soloveitchik, there's a picture of Moshe Soloveitchik in the hall on the sixth floor, maybe other floors as well, yeah, I don't know, but I see on the sixth floor every day I pass, there's a picture right on the left of Moshe Soloveitchik. It's one of the only pictures that exist, the one or two that I've ever seen. So when his father, Rav Moshe, was 19 years old, and his older brother, Rav Gershon, was 21, and his uncle, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik speaking about his uncle, the Griz, was 11 years old. So, hard to imagine. The Brisker was 11 years old. So there was a certain Tabach, there was a butcher, it's always the butchers, I don't know why, there was a butcher in Brisk who had a Din Torah with somebody else several months earlier involving 3,000 ruble. And they came before Reb Chaim for a Psak Din. So the local butcher had a Machlokos with someone in town, and they came before Reb Chaim for a Psak. Reb Chaim tried to encourage the Baladinim to accept the Pshar beforehand. You learned Sanhedrin last year, I believe, so you all know that it's very important to try to encourage the Baladinim to accept the Pshara rather than impose a din. But this butcher, the Shochet, wasn't interested. He said, no, I know I'm right, and I have nothing to hide, I have nothing to apologize for, and I'm not accepting any Pshara, I'm not going to accept any settlement. It's going to be my way or no way. Anyway, well, Reb Chaim said, okay, and he heard the arguments, and he judged against this butcher. The butcher came out as the loser. So when the butcher heard that Reb Chaim paskeg against him, he started screaming. It's hard to read this, but he started screaming, Gazlan Utseach. He turned to Reb Chaim and he called him a thief, he called him a murderer. And Reb Chaim said, listen, I told you, you should accept the pshara, you didn't want to. This is, the din is what it is. And he got more angry, and he was insulting Reb Chaim, and apparently his insults became a little more graphic than that, and Reb Chaim couldn't stand it anymore, and he said the following, Chutzuf Tzei Mikan. He called the guy a chutzuf, which clearly he was, and he said, get out of here. Not so bad, right? If somebody called me a Gazan Rotzeach, maybe I would say worse than that. Reb Chaim said, Chutzuf Tzei Mikan. So, the story continues. This happened, it says, on top of the next page, this happened in the month of Av. So, several months later, of course, is Yom Kippur. And Reb Chaim turns to his three sons, right? Again, Reb Moshe, the Brisker Rav, Reb Gershom, he turns to them on Erev Yom Kippur. He says, you know, let's go to a certain shul where they didn't daven. Well, we'll find the butcher, and I'd like to apologize. Not necessarily that he's seeking an apology. Maybe he'll get an apology, but he wants to apologize because he said to him, get out of the courtroom, and that was not nice. Speak to him that way, say, Chotzot Tzimikah. So Reb Chaim, it says, went into to the shul on Erev Yom Kippur. It's an incredible story, the way it's described over here. At this point, many people in shul already. So everybody had a talus over their head, they're probably saying Tefillah Zakah, and he's walking around, and it was hard to see who's who, because people, so he's poking his head on everybody's talus, and finally, he finds the guy he's looking for. And they make eye contact, and he says, hello, you know, my name is Chaim Soloveitchik. You may not recall, but several months earlier, you had a sichsuch, he came before my... So he looked at Reb Chaim, he says, I remember exactly. So Reb Chaim says, I wanted to apologize, because I said, Chotzuf Tzei Mikan, and I shouldn't have spoken to you that way. The guy takes the talus off his head, he looks at Reb Chaim, and he says, Gazlan Rotzeach, he insults him again. He says, I will not forgive you unless, as soon as Yom Kippur is over, you bring me 3,000 rubles that you owe me. So at that point, Chaim very calmly, without losing his cool, says to him, listen, I don't owe you any money. I will not be paying you. In fact, he says, I do feel that I was somewhat justified in telling you to leave my room because of the way you were speaking, but I still feel bad because Chazal say that we should be mevakesh mechila from people when we spoke to them improperly, even if we were only makhiv advarim, even if we just insulted them. So I didn't harm you financially, I don't owe you anything, but I'm going to ask again. And he repeated the request. Lamaisa, the guy didn't forgive him, and essentially so ends the story. It says over here that when they left the shul, so they asked Chaim, you know, what's the makkah for this din that you have to go ahead and ask mechila from somebody? So he quoted the Gemara in Yom Adaf Pei Zayin, source number 23, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Kala Maknet Es Chaveru Afilu B'dvarim Tzarech L'Faiso. When you go ahead and you insult somebody, even if it was only B'dvarim, right? You didn't harm them physically. You didn't do anything so terrible. I just, I just used my words here. As well, Reb Yitzchak says, you still have to be mefayis such a person. Reb Chaim was very medaktik when it came to this particular din, and when many people were in shul, Erev Yom Kippur, saying tefillah zakos, he was going to another shul to go ahead and to ask mechila from somebody who we would have thought that you didn't even have to ask mechila from in the first place. This story is significant because it's significant for many reasons. Significance because it shows us that even an Adam Gadol, who you would think would be very demoralizing, very demeaning, for Reb Chaim to go ahead and to ask mechila from a person who essentially cursed him out publicly, we see that that's not so. That apparently he felt that it was not beneath his cover to go ahead and to be Mekayim the Din, as found in Mishnah and Yomah. But beyond that, in case some of us are still wondering, you know, how many people do I really need to ask mechila from? After all, you know, I didn't damage anybody, I didn't steal from anybody. So this story, you know, and really the Gemara, which is highlighted through this story, you know, forces us to reconsider the fact that, you know, it's not just over the past year, I mean, the year is a long time, but over the years of our life, it's impossible that we have not offended, we have not hurt, we have not spoken improperly to people, and we have to try to go ahead and do our part to be mevakesh mechila. Now, this particular obligation was always difficult. It was difficult in every generation, which is precisely why, as we saw earlier, the Achronim said that this is a requirement. This is a requirement for Yom Kippur because it's part of the process of tshuva. It seemed to me that it's even more difficult today because we have found it that much more difficult to communicate in the way that human beings are supposed to communicate. We're supposed to communicate with each other face to face. We're supposed to look at each other when we talk. And therefore, until relatively recently in history, there are only two ways that you can actually apologize to somebody, either face-to-face or sending a letter. Pen and paper and putting it in the mail, which I suppose at times people may have done. But that was it. Those were the only two options. Today there are many other ways to communicate with each other, and in fact, most of us do much of our communicating through other forms of modern day forms of communication, including email and text messaging and WhatsApp and I don't know, there must be others, but you get the point. So what? What's the big deal? Well, if we see that the goal of this din is to help us achieve a place of acceptance of what we've done, and we should be machni ourselves, and with tremendous humility and shame, we come and we look at the person in the face and we say, I'm sorry for what I did. So we could see that a person may, in his mind, be able to rationalize, justify going ahead and sending a quick message to say, somebody saying, or maybe even a group text to lots of people saying, in case I offended anybody, I hope you're mochel me. And maybe we check that off in the box and say, okay, you know, I've taken care of that obligation, I'm going to go to do kaparis, right? Because that's what it says in Tumitzimutaf Reishvav. So I'll go ahead and I'll just send I'll tweet out to everybody who's all my followers. There you go. I'm sorry. You know. So does that work? So the answer is, it would seem not. I'll actually share with you from a secular source, Sherry Turkle, who's actually written several books on the topic of technology and how it has really affected our society in a very, very negative way. I just heard a shiur that was given by a friend several weeks ago, but I just listened to it yesterday. Oh, you were there. I saw you in the video. I saw you in the video. So he quoted another book that she wrote. This wasn't this book, but this book is called Alone Together. And you don't need me to read it to you. But the basic, the point that she makes over here is that technology makes it very, very difficult for us to apologize properly. Because when you text an apology, number one, it's very impersonal. The person can't hear your voice and may not even know that you're serious. They may even think that you're being cynical. They may think you're taunting them. And if a person has really been hurt, Texting an apology may actually be even more hurtful to them, because it doesn't necessarily give them the impression that you've really learned from what you've done. It does not allow you the opportunity to show empathy, and it does not allow that person the opportunity to go ahead and to hear and to process and then to heal, which is all part of the process of mechilas chaveiro. It's about building or restoring a relationship. And technology has many advantages. There are many reasons why some of us, I imagine many of us, maybe most of us, have smartphones. And in our minds, we've come to the conclusion, I've got one as well, it's right here, that it does a lot of good for me. So therefore, we choose to have it. And maybe you're right. But there are certain things that it can't do. And to serve as, in a sense, a shaliach, for me, I may think, well, it's not really shaliach, because I'm the one writing the message and pressing send. But in some ways, I would argue it's probably worse than the shaliach that the post can already disqualify for the purpose of being faisas chaveiro, because it completely lets me off the hook. It takes away much, if not all, of the discomfort involved, and it doesn't really send a very clear message to the person who I'm apologizing to that I'm really sorry. It doesn't. All it shows them is that I remember that I hurt you, and that's it. So if we really, really want to be able to fulfill this obligation properly, so we should really go out of our way and push ourselves to do it the old-fashioned way, which really may be the only way. Just sort of a parenthetical point, it's not an insignificant one, but it's not really part of the mahalach that we're delivering today, but I thought I would include in this discussion as well, in source number 25, a statement from Avad Yosef in the Shtuva that I cited from earlier, in Yechav Adas, Chela Kesem and Mem Dalid, that he quotes in Ben Ishchai something which I guess should be obvious, but if it was so obvious, then Ben Ishchai wouldn't have to say it. Shechiyuv gadol mutar al kol adam levakesh mechila be'erev Yom Kippur mi'avi ve'ima. Person is absolutely obligated to ask mechila from his mother and his father for everything that he's done or hasn't done, which has been pugging the kavod. And if you don't do so, nikur chote, and you're mezalza b'chavad avi ve'ima. Shenbeid adam lechaveru chayv chazal levakesh mechila kol Yom Kippurim kol shekein mi'avi ve'ima shekamat ein adam nitzol mechid zeh b'chol yom. He doesn't say in their life. He says every day. It's almost impossible for one who is zocher their parents not to, in some way whatsoever, impinge on the kavod. V'chein habal v'isha. Similarly, a husband and wife. Yimchu zelo ze akol asher cheto echot klapi hashein v'mesha kol hashana u'dvaro v'dibro v'kasam dvarim asher lo kein. We're not talking about over here a family that's completely dysfunctional, where people are fighting all the time and throwing things at each other. Even a family which is an intact family, which is more or less functional, and people get along with each other. But how is it shayach that over the course of the past year, a person has not spoken very improperly to a husband, to a wife, to a parent, whatever the case may be? So here we have an obligation to go ahead and to remember that this obligation to be mefayis as chaveiro applies to family members as well, people that we love, people that we care about, and we shouldn't assume, well, it's obvious. I know what my wife is going to say, I know what my husband is going to say, I know what my father, my mother, it doesn't work that way. Says the Ben Ishchai, chiyuv gomor, this is absolutely an obligation to go ahead and sincerely to go ahead and be mevakish mechila. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we just went through three pages. So it's about halfway through. So it just worked out that way. Maybe it didn't. I don't remember. What I want to do right now is focus on sort of the other end over here. We did go through... Oh, boy. We don't even have half the time left. So I only have 20 minutes left. With less than that, actually. I want to focus on the other half of this, and that is the importance of being mochel es chaveiro. Until now, we talked about the importance of being meratz es chaveiro. The Rama in Siman Tov Reish Vav, Sif Aleph, says, Hamochel lo yehi achzori melimchol. That when a person comes to you for forgiveness, don't withhold that forgiveness. Don't be cruel. Don't be mean. Unless you mechavin letovas amavakesh, if you think that what it's in his benefit that you go ahead and don't forgive him, or at least initially, let's say a person is always acting inappropriately and he's always assaulting me in some way, and he's always insulting me, whatever the case is. So I need to make him feel bad about it. I need to let him know that you can't just act that way and just ask forgiveness and get it. So okay, maybe if it's really letovaso, or the Aruch HaShulchan says, be very careful. Be very, very careful. Be honest with yourself. If you're really helping the guy, if you're not helping the guy, it's very kedai to see the Aruch HaShulchan over here inside. But the point is that we should be generous, he says. We're all B'nai Avram, Avinu, and Avram, we see that he was Mochel Abimelech. He davened for his welfare and well-being, even though he didn't necessarily have to. So we should, in that spirit as well, we should be very generous, and we should not be so makbid on our kavod. And even when, yeah, we have a right to be, we should be mocha. On the other hand, and the Sefer Alishur of Vova points out that we shouldn't just go ahead and say, I'm mochel, if I'm not. I shouldn't go ahead and just say, yeah, I forgive you, if I haven't really thought about what that means, and I haven't fully, you know, forgiven this person, if it's something that I need to work on. So he quotes over here an incredible story, that somebody once came to Rav Elia Lopyan, and he apologized for speaking Lashon Hara about him, and Lopyan said, well, what did you say? And he sat down, and he heard the whole story, and he said, you know, I don't know, I gotta think about this. He said, can you come back in 2 weeks? I have to work on myself. I'm going to learn Sifrei Musa over the next couple of weeks. I have to really try to work on myself so I can really, really be mocha you, mechila gemura. So, it's hard to imagine, he goes on to say, Reuel Yopyan said about himself that he never had to pay to some other people. He was a very forgiving person. He wasn't the kind of person who walked around with a grudge or anything like that. But yet, he understood and he appreciated that if you're going to be mocha somebody, you should really, really be able to do it, believe government, not just to say to somebody, I'm mocha you. So Rav Volba says, don't be embarrassed to say to a person that comes to you and says, I'm mocha me, you know, I want to be, I need a little more time. I appreciate you asking me. I appreciate you coming to me. Give me a little more time to work this out. And you could say to the person, you know, if you don't mind following up with me, or you know what, I'll follow up with you. If you say that, you've got to make sure to do so, of course. Don't leave a guy hanging like that. But the point is that we should take this. We shouldn't just take the obligation to be mochel seriously, but we should take that process seriously. And we should understand that it may not always be so easy, and that's okay. It's something we need to work on. But that's a goal that we need to try to achieve. Famous Gemara, Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Zayin, name of Rava, called Mavir Amidosav, Mavir and Al Kof Shav, that if a person wants HaKadosh Baruch Hu to forgive him, at this time of year, during Aser Shemei Tshuva, and Yom HaKippurim, a person has to be what's called Mavir Amidosav. What does it mean, Mavir Amidosav? So Rashi says over there, Sheina medaktik lindod midal amitzarimaso. Umaniach midosav ahorichlo. A person is not so medaktik that when a person upsets me, when he harms me, when he offends me, I go ahead and I use very, very specific, precise measures to figure out how to react. I don't have to be so machmir on my kavod. I can go ahead and I can be mochel people, and I should try to be generous in that respect. The Sefer Torah Devarah from the Ramak, he says in source number 33 that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described by the Malachim as being a melech ne'elav, a solvel elvon, what's that? Yeah, melech ne'elav. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a melech ne'elav. What does that mean? That means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is subject to untold, unquantifiable abuse. Why? Because, think about it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates billions of people, many of whom completely disregard him and disobey him, do whatever they want. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tolerates them. And not only that, even at the moment that they're sitting against him, he continues to go ahead and to be mefinis them and give them air to breathe and the ability to go ahead and to live and to function, and their heart continues to beat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being mechaya people who are committing acts of betrayal precisely at that moment. And says Ramak in the Sefer Torah Devarah, which is really built on this whole premise that we have to try to emulate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you giving mitzvahs of rachamim are not just there for us to understand what Hashem is, but that we have to try, Yasu li kaseder azeh, we have to try to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu in these ways. We have to also try to raise ourselves to this point where we can be forgiving. And it's true, sometimes people do terrible things to us, and people are really cruel, and they're very selfish, and really, 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 maybe, meikar adin, it's not coming to them. And I shouldn't be required under these circumstances to go ahead and forgive him. I should still try, because it's mimidus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to try to be as forgiving as possible. In the Sofik Sefer Koch Veyor, Rav Yitzchak Blazer says an incredible idea, which I guess becomes obvious after the fact, but it's not necessarily so obvious beforehand. But it's an incredible idea, and that is that Rav and Rav Zera, going back to that story that we saw earlier in the Gemara in Yomadah Pezayin, when they went ahead and appeared before those people who owed them apologies, were really emulating the very midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does the pasuk tell us? Dir Shu Hashem Behimatzo, Kurubi Yaso Karov, which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes himself available to us precisely this time of year. When you think about it, he says we should be banging down HaKadosh Baruch Hu's door and begging him for forgiveness. We should go to the Shemayim to apologize. But that's not what happens. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachu comes to us. He comes and he hangs out and he says, no. He gives us reminders constantly. It's Rosh Hashanah, it's Esmei Tshuva, Yom Kippur. He gives us the ability to go ahead and he's right in our face. So of course, hopefully, of course, we're going to take advantage of that opportunity and apologize. So he says that Rav and Rav Zeira, when they were availing themselves of the people who had offended them, they were essentially just fulfilling the mitzvah of Avalachta B'drachav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts that way, they were acting the same way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu avails himself, appears before those who have offended him, and we as well should go out of our way to be generous in that regard, to make it easier for people to apologize and not make it so difficult, not make it so hard for them. You know, there are certain people, maybe not anybody here, but there are people who are always looking for, you know, I don't want to say shtick, but they're looking for schools of different ways to go ahead and to achieve certain objectives. If they want to have tzlach and parnasa, people want to have shidduch, they want to help with something, or just the tshuva. Right, I want a Kadosh Baruch Hu to forgive me. So what do? Well, they look for whatever it is. You know, they make they participate in the challah baking thing for 40 days, or they submit their name. So somebody's going to say the kotel for 40 days. Works, doesn't work, not my business for right now. But one thing is clear, and that is that the poskim, even those who would perhaps speak about the skulas. So a quote over here from the Chidah, and on the top of the next page from the Hanhagas, where Moshe Leib Misasov, the Sasov of Rav, that they said you wanted the greatest school in the world. You really, really want to know what it is? It's to go ahead and to be a forgiving person. Don't be so makbid on your kavod. Don't get angry so easily. Forgive. And he says that will be much, much more effective than elef tanisin, than 1,000 fast days, and whatever sorts of affliction you're going to subject yourself to in order to what? To achieve whatever it is that you're trying to get. You really want to succeed in this regard, just be a forgiving person. Being a generous person. Don't hold on to Don't have tainas on people. Don't hold on to grudges. Just be forgiving in that regard. And that's the greatest. He says that's the greatest school in the world. What happens sometimes is that we forgive people, but we still like to remind them every once in a while, you know, about that thing that you did to me. And that's human nature. Sometimes we do that. You could think about the a husband. They break something that's very precious to his wife. And what does she do? Every once in a while, even though she forgave him, she goes, remember, you know, that very, very special dish that used to be the way, you know, the one that you broke, right? Or the husband went ahead and he lost something that was very important to his wife. So, I'm sorry, she lost something that was very important to him. So every once in a while he says, you know, that very, very special thing that was mine, the one that you lost. So people do that. And that's, you know, they justify it for whatever reason. I came across an incredible idea in the Torah Tamima that I wanted to share with you, because it really, really goes to the root of this very, very terrible midah. The Torah Tamima is commenting on a drasha that we find in the Gemara in Shabbos Taf Pei Zayin. The pasuk in Parshas Ekev says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, "Psalach shnei luchos avanim karishonim, go ahead and make two new luchos and prepare them exactly like the first ones, asher shibarta, the ones that you broke. And put them in the oven." Right? So that's what it says in Parshas Ekev. So on that, the Gemara in Shabbos says, "Minolam dehiskam HaKadosh Baruch Hu yado." How do we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is maskim? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu proved of Moshe's actions to go ahead and to break the luchos. Shenemar, as it says, Asher Shibarta. Rish Lakish says, Yi Asher Kochacha Sheshibarta. Eshkaya, that you broke it. And it seems to be, it's almost like a play on words, Asher Yi Yasher. So from here we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mocha, excuse me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is maskim. He agreed, Moshe didn't ask permission before he broke the luchos. Moshe did it on his own. Right? This is, Chazal said, this is one of three things that Moshe did on his own, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was maskim al-yada. And how do we know that? Because it says, Asher Shibarta, Yasher Shibarta. So ask the Torah Tamima, how does Rish Lakish see that? Just because it says, Asher Shibarta? So he sees Nerish Gosh. So he says an incredible idea. He says, human nature is that when somebody does something wrong to me, and he upsets me, he did something that upsets me, whatever it is, so even after I forgive him, sometimes I go ahead and I just remind him. So like using that example that I gave before, right? The mother, the father says to the child, yeah, don't sit over there. I don't want you to break the couch like you broke that one. The kid knows that he broke that one. The husband, the wife, whoever it is, they know what they did wrong. Why are you reminding them? It's not nice to do that. It's not nice to remind people of things that they did wrong. It's just not nice. But what do we see in this pasuk? We see HaKadosh Baruch Hu does just that. He says to Moshe, just like what? The first ones, Asher Shibarta. You know, the first ones that you broke. So says the Torah to me, well, why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu say that to Moshe? It's not nice. Elamai, you see from here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is complimenting him. It can't be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would speak that way. He was saying to Moshe, Yishkayach, for breaking it. That was a great thing that you did. An incredible diuk. incredible insight into this drasha, and perhaps even more importantly, a profound reminder, the way we should treat other people, the way we shouldn't treat other people. There's no reason to remind people things that they did wrong. If it happened already, especially you forgave them, move on, and don't bring it up. You know, this is one of the, unfortunately, one of the very, very toxic features of people who are involved in unhealthy, unproductive, dysfunctional relationships, where people always go ahead and they bring up things that happened in the past. It's not necessary for now. It doesn't add anything to this conversation. Now we're dealing with this. You don't have to go ahead and bring up something that a year ago, or 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, don't bring it up. It's not helpful. And it really runs contrary to the very midah that we're trying to promote right now. A midah, as the Ramah says, in Siman Tov Reish Vav, it's not just to be meratzes chaveiro, but to be memochel. You shouldn't be an achzori. And that includes, don't hold on to things. Learn to just let go. The problem is, says Revolver Nali Shui, that a lot of people have kepedos, they don't even know about it. People have various things that bother them about other people, they don't even know. And we have to first get in touch with ourselves, he says in source number 41. It's very important to come to understand our own kepedos. You have to understand the things that bother us about other people, in general, or specific to certain individuals. And if we can have an insight into our own way of thinking, so that may help help us develop a sense of maturity, rather than defaulting, as we so often do, to being immature and overly sensitive and overly makbid on things that won't really deserve our attention at all. But it requires a tremendous avodah. It requires an effort, and it's not something that just happens automatically. I'll tell you an amazing story that I actually witnessed. It's not the kind of story that would make it, maybe it would, I don't know. I was going to say it wouldn't necessarily make it into an art school book. The person who did this, he probably will never have a book written about him. So for sure won't make it into his book. But to me, this is one of the most incredible things I ever saw. It happened in my shul. It was about a year and a half ago, maybe it was 2.5 years ago, I don't know, when it was Parshas Naso. You'll see in a moment, but I remember it after Parshas Naso. So there's a guy in my shul who got up to lane. They got up to lane, it was Parshas Naso. He's a guy who lanes, I would say, every 6 weeks. So he's part of a rotation, lanes very nicely. He got up. How do I know? Well, the Torah comes out of the Aron, and the Shliach Tzibur brings it up, and he's standing in place. And as he's standing there, he sees this other guy is walking up with his tikkun in his hand. So this guy, who was clearly there first, and I'm watching this whole thing from where I stand, he does not quite sure what's going on, so he takes one step down, and he watches the guy position himself. Like tikkun takes another step down, and just goes back to his seat. Now, I don't know if I was the only one in the room who saw it, but it wasn't like a public thing. And I looked at him, I made eye contact with him, and he said, so, to this day, I don't know if I clarified, I don't remember what it was. I don't know whose fault it was, whose miscommunication it was, but what was most incredible is not the fact that he didn't kick and scream, and he didn't pick up, the yacht and start hitting the guy in the head. I knew he wouldn't do that. He's not that kind of guy. But you wouldn't even know him. He was so fine with it. It wasn't a big deal. It was Parshas Naso. I know Parshas Naso is not really the hardest Parshas. It's the longest, but still it's Parshas Naso. You still have Revi, right? And it's Parshas Naso. And he probably stayed up late the night before and woke up early that morning, and he's got nothing to show for it. Well, that's not true. He's got something very special to show for it. I don't know how they quantify such deeds in Shemayim, but that's an incredible thing to see a person who has any right to stand up there and negotiate with the Gabbai and say, listen, maybe I'll do half. He does half. Who is this guy? Who? But nothing. Not a word. Nothing. And that was an amazing thing. I really thought his reaction was, in some respects, really angelic. Sometimes we believe that we have the right to have tainas on people. That's just our attitude. Yeah, I have a right to have tainas about this, right to have tainas about that. I saw an incredible thing in the Sefer Or Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. This is found in source number 43. The Gemara in several places, you may have learned such Gemaras. One of them is brought down over here in Bava Metzia, Daf Ayin Zayin. It's not the only one. The Gemara talks about a person who borrows money. He borrows, let's say, $100, and he pays the guy the back $1 at a time. You imagine, you buy $100 from somebody, and you come one day and say, here's $1. I owe you $99. And you come a couple days later, here's another $1. So, are you allowed to do that? Is that considered to be a good piron? Is that considered to be a big payment, good payment of debt? So the Gemara says, yes, piron have it, ela de islay taromas. But the guy has taromas, which means he has a right to have a tie on you. It's not nice. I mean, basically, you're a jerk. You know, it's just not nice. See, the guy lent you $100, and you come over to him every couple days and you hand him another dollar. His dollar's coming out of his pocket. It's not nice. Just go ahead and maybe give him $2.50, but a dollar, another dollar, it's not nice. And Yeshulav Tarumos. So, in the Sefer Yisrael, it talks about this concept of Tarumos, which, again, is probably loosely translated, as like we would say, is Tainus. It's an incredible idea. He says, the Gemara says in several places, and only in several places, Yeshulav Tarumas. Sometimes the Gemara says, Eilav Tarumas, which means you can't even have times. Why does it say sometimes Yeshulav Tarumas? So he says, essentially, these are the only places in the world where you can really, really have Tarumas on people. You don't have a right to go ahead and just have times on people just because he upset you. The Chazal are very clear. This is a case where you can have times. He can't do anything about it. He can't sue him. You know, but you have a right to be annoyed at the guy. But you can count, I believe, in one hand, the number of places it says this in all of Shas, Yeshalav Tarumas, which means that even though there are many, many situations in life which you may feel slighted, you're not permitted to go ahead and just say, I have tinas. What do we do? Oy vey, it's 2:28 already. I just want to conclude with one amazing thought, and I'll leave it at that. This I heard years ago, the amazing Dasa Kenan Bali Tosos. You could use this, I'm sure you use it many times in your life, because hopefully you won't forget it, just like I didn't. The Pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim says, V'anshi kodesh tiyan li basat basat the treif alos achelu, akelev tashlich anosa. Right? You find a treif in the field, what you should do? You should feed it to the dog. Which dog? What do you mean, which dog? Any dog. Your dog, your neighbor's dog, it doesn't make a difference. Says, V'asakein v'ali tosos of here in source number 44, you know which dog you should give it to? You should give it to the sheep dog. The dog that was supposed to be protecting the sheep. But they let his guard down, and then the wolf came and killed the sheep. You should go ahead and give it to the dog. Why would you do that? Why am I rewarding him? So says Dasakena Balitosis, because usually when he does his job right, you don't say anything to him. You don't say thank you. You don't say anything. When he gets it wrong, the one time he messes up, what do? You patch it. Comes along the Torah and says, that's not nice. Say thank you for all the times you get it right. Now, from perspective of dog conditioning, I'm not really sure that this is a good idea. I don't know if Pavlov would agree that this would really be an effective way of training a dog. But from a Musari perspective, it's an incredible idea. And if we apply this to human relations, it's really amazing. And it's true. When people do things for us all the time, we say nothing. And the one time they get it wrong, we say, yeah, well, what's the matter? Why didn't you get it right? So we're being shown by the Torah to be exactly the opposite. When we feel that coming to our mouth, and we feel a sense of kindness, and we feel, oh, so precisely at that moment, we should stop ourselves and say, thank you for all the times you get it right. Thank you for everything you do for me. I appreciate it. This is something that we could do, sort of a kung yase, to sort of counter the natural, instinctual mahalich that a lot of us take in these situations. That is just to be brogus with people, just have tainus, just to be upset. I'm really out of time. I hope you have no tainus against me for going over. But we should be zolcha. As we make our way formally in a few hours from now, the day of Yom Kippurim, to achieve this very lofty goal, which is set for us by Chazal, to be individuals who are not just going to go ahead and think about the Averish Ben Adam Makom and Adam Chaver as well. We should make an effort to try to reach, to contact the individual whose individuals we've offended, be Meratzes Chaverenu, and as well, we should also try to be generous and forthcoming with Mechila when people ask us. We should do so because we hope and pray that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would treat us in kind. Everybody should have a Gemara Tov.